bring me to this world in the dark, while the stage to be on the floor is to generate you.
Sounds so terrifying. Submit to us.
I know. And it's like right there. Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, Steve.
Good evening.
Glad, nice to have you back.
Well, it's nice to be back.
Where were you?
I was home. I'll be honest with you. This winter has not been kind to me. I hate winter.
It's been a long winter.
I loathe winter.
I know.
I loathe winter.
Now, what does that mean?
But I am back, and it's good to be back, and it's good to see each and every one of you, and you people out there, too. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Mike Perillo.
Wait, you skipped right over me.
Well, you were in, like, La La
Land.
You were, you know.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Dave DiProspero.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
The car bomb.
The Irish car bomb.
You,
yeah.
Son of a gun, you.
We love Larry here at the show. We had some depressing news Larry gave us earlier tonight.
It's true.
So he's going to have to Skype in from now on.
Yes. Larry's leaving us.
This is ridiculous.
I am indeed. I will be leaving. Not leaving the group. Like, I'm still part of the group. I hope.
That's what you're thinking.
Do you think so?
But I'm gonna be living in New York City starting probably mid-June.
Oh, well, we still got a couple months.
So,
ladies,
this is the last call for the Larry O'Grady show.
You don't know what you're missing.
Are you kidding? He's going to New York City. He's got a whole new plethora of fans that he's going to take on.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of people that don't know me, so that's good.
And how
hey,
are we
have
going
a,
to...
You have a chance now.
How are we going to arrange our Skype calls for our radio show?
We'll figure something out.
All right.
Yeah, we will.
You're the tech guy.
So what are you going to do, Mike?
I was just going to use a magic crystal.
You know, man, I'm lucky to get these jacks in the right hole.
One of those magic pots that shows people's faces in it.
Did you say magic pot?
Magic pot. I said a magic pot.
Oh, not the magic pot.
Not the magic pot.
I don't know if that was a reference to New York Senator Christian Gilbert, yeah.
Who?
Supporting a federal law to legalize medical marijuana today.
Well, we all know medical marijuana is not the magic stuff. So
if you want to talk about puffing the magic dragon, please feel free to call us in because...
It's just going to open doors of controversy.
We had a conversation about that song at work the other day. And
Puff the Magic Dragon.
I have never in my life heard that theory of the song.
Peter
was
Paul,
about
Peter,
yeah.
Peter Paul,
really?
Absolutely.
I never.
Yeah.
I always thought it was about a nice little fun kid song.
Little Jackie
nice.
Paper?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It was Piper, wasn't it?
Paper.
Paper.
Little Jackie Paper. Yeah, because it was made out of paper.
Yeah.
Cocaine and the magic sea.
What the heck? Anyway.
Yeah.
It's sort of related to a show we did years ago about DMT, dimethyl,
yes, the paranormal
drug there thing.
Dimethyl.
The paranormal drug.
The magic mushroom.
Do more tea. Whatever it was. Okay, so you can see we have nothing. So Larry, let's talk about the angel that saved the little girl.
How about we talk about, first and foremost, can we just say live long and prosper?
Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
Well, what else do you want to do? By Alan Paul? I mean, of course. talk about sage advice. I mean,
yeah.
A lot's happened in a week, so you got to give props where they're due.
That's right.
For those of you who missed it, we linked it on our Facebook page, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. Rich and I were on WKAL 1450 AM, Rome, New York.
How did that go? I forgot.
I know. We actually needed you because it was a tribute to Leonard Nimoy and Star Trek technology, which neither Rich nor I actually really know.
I love Star Trek technology.
Should have been you and I.
Well, I can't get off of work.
Should have been Steve. We've been trying to get Steve to... Oh, this might be some calls from about the marijuana.
Oh, great.
No. Okay. We,
that wasn't anything. It was just a weird squiggle noise.
To hang up on
him. I hear very well, you know. One of the last few people that have. I like it because it talks to me. It said, hey, stupid, you got mail.
You know what? Last,
couple is that
weeks.
Me?
No.
No. It is me, see? It's the stupid microphone.
We're still having audio problems here.
There.
So with the show that we did this morning, we actually had a call in too, believe it or not there, but we covered a few major topics. The thing was, what in Star Trek actually became reality? And I know we've talked about this, but one of the points where I stunned them was with the transporter. I'm like, even though they've tried to work on that technology, and I believe I've seen something maybe a month ago, they were able to transport like a dust particle or something. I said, but, you know, we're here representing Rome investigators of the paranormal. I said, what is the ethical dilemma of transporting something? I said, because you're breaking something down and destroying it to rematerialize it somewhere else. I said, if we are humans with the spirit, what happens to that?
Mm-hmm. What happens to you? What that made, that thing that makes you you, what happens to that? Are you dead?
You know, if one molecule is off for an ice cube or something, I mean, what...
Isn't the transporter also, actually, when you break it down, it has like a memory of the transfer, and it actually has a memory of you onto that transfer?
I think so. When it breaks you down, it's supposed to get your memories and everything.
Yep.
But how many terabytes
of
memory is
the transporter mechanism itself actually...
it has the transport buffer. That's
memory,
right.
Yeah. It has a memory of you in the buffer.
So if you're ever lost, it can recreate you.
Yes.
What are the
ramifications of that, like he says?
So in effect, though, then wouldn't that just make everyone in Star Trek...
Soulless?
Immortal? Because if you die, they just make another clone.
There was one great episode of Star Trek where Captain Picard was infected by some terrible disease, and he picked it up while he was transporting. And the only way that they could clear him out was to dematerialize him, clean his pattern, and rematerialize him again. So effectively, they destroyed him, cleaned out anything that wasn't in his pattern, which is on record on the Enterprise.
On the transporter buffer, yep.
And then they built him back up again.
It's like picking a virus out of a computer program.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you're making a clone.
Yeah, you're making a clone. And
so theoretically, it would not be the same Picard, because you wouldn't be able to theoretically transfer his personality.
Well, if your soul breaks down, if your soul's a type of energy, they beam something when they send a transporter thing, don't they?
They beam a pattern. I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be energy in there somewhere.
I remember reading an article many, many years ago about the modern day technology with regard to transporting, and Pete just said out how much space it would take to store all of that stuff. And if you think that one genome has billions of bits of data in it, and your body is composed of, you know, billions and trillions of strands of DNA times all those billions of sequences in the genome, I mean, it's astronomical to think of that number. They actually gave a concrete number, and it was something hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times above and beyond the order of magnitude of the largest storage capacities we have now.
What if they just use a generic template and just tweak the details?
In fact,
everyone in the Star Trek universe has ever been transported either as...
I don't know.
...generic male body or generic female body, and they just change.
So they build a transporter, working transporter tomorrow. You want to be the first one to try it?
Nope.
I've seen The Fly, and I know how that movie is.
That's right.
I've seen Galaxy Quest, and I've seen what happens when you get reversed.
Anybody remember Barkley from The Enterprise? He was the one who was terrified, transporter psychosis. He had one bad experience, and he wouldn't go on anymore.
I think coming at him when he was in the act of beaming.
And he had to hug it.
Yep.
In the comic book world, a teleporter malfunction created a brand new firestorm.
No, have any of you seen Have any of you seen Galaxy Quest?
Long time ago.
That would be a more feasible transport, wouldn't it? They're like surrounded in jelly and then flung through space.
If you could break the space-time continuum, and therein lies our problem that we cannot warp space-time or exceed the speed of light.
As of right now.
Unless you go by what they're talking about at CERN,
the
faster-than-light particles.
The faster you go in space, the heavier and bigger you become.
And the slower you go.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be easier to just use a wormhole?
If they exist the way that we think they do.
That's why warp drive is a folding of the space. It warps the space, and it actually folds it, and you go from here to here like that. That's what basically warp drive is.
So then why do they have various factors of it if it just...
Because the faster you go, the faster the folds are. That's why
if you're folding space, you just fold from point A to point B.
Because think about the fold. You're either, you know, warping it this much and you have to make that tunnel, or you're warping it this much and you have to make that tunnel, or that much and you have to make that tunnel. And there's varying degrees of energy, I guess, that are required.
See, I'm going based on like Farscape style.
Oh, don't go Farscape.
Just go point A and point B.
And bing, you're there.
Like the wormhole outside of Deep Space Nine.
Well,
that's go through it, point A, point B.
That's a wormhole. That's not the warp drive. A wormhole is a static thing. Warp drive is actually physically.
I'm talking about
just like this line here.
No.
Going from here to here like this, warp drive goes like this.
He pointed it out. I'm talking wormholes. You're talking warp drives.
And then you're there.
Let's. It's worth mentioning the one real piece of technology from Star Trek that exists today.
The flip phone.
The tricorder.
The tricorder, the medical device,
and the engineering one. NASA's using the engineering one.
There's actually a website out there where you could purchase let's see what it is.
Pete and I talked about this just before he went on the show. It's a medical scanner, and they hold it up, a screen, and they hold it up, and it can actually look at your organs inside your body.
But this one is actually built to look exactly like the Star Trek tricorder.
Really?
Yeah, that's why this one's cool.
You know what I have a problem with is Scotty's only job. Scotty's only job is the warp drive, and this, and he
No, that's not his only job.
Scotty, give us warp. I can't. Well, what are you doing?
The engines, the transporters.
Okay, that's part of his job.
The food
right.
elite.
It's part of his job, right?
Sure,
okay.
Absolutely.
Why
yes.
can't he accomplish this?
They're a starship.
They warp speed.
Larry.
Nope.
Larry.
Can't.
Because Scotty spent all his time drunk.
Okay, yeah, never mind.
We could talk about 3D printers, too.
I just got up, Captain. I got
it. As
a replicator.
Replicator, yep. Yep.
There's even a 3D printer called the replicator.
They're actually thinking of very soon, well, not maybe within our lifetime, but they're going to have 3D printers actually making food.
Oh, they have them. I was just thinking.
Yes, Nestle has a replicator they're working on.
Can you imagine that? Going up and say, yeah, I want a candy bar.
Yep.
Did you see the DNA sculptures made from people's chewing gum?
No.
Faces on a wall. They took...
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Holy crap.
Yep, that's weird.
That's creepy.
Yep.
That's creepy. What are the faces made of? Are they made of... Was it just like a 3D printer that they did?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was.
Yep.
Well, I didn't know
bone
what they
structure.
Meant by... Like, did they...
What's your face made out of?
Could you clone the skin from the chewing gum? Could you make someone's... Can
a
we make someone's
skin?
Face? We made someone's ear on a mouse.
Technically,
can't we make someone's face?
Technically, you can clone
they're,
any...
They're building
DNA
skin off of a gelatinous membrane, which they graft onto somebody. That's what they're doing for burn patients.
That's fantastic.
Does
it look gross, though?
Yeah, it doesn't look...
I picture it looking really, like, waxy and fake.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah, that's not normal at all.
That's a supervillain in the making.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that's helping burn patients, they go through hell.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's definitely a welcome thing.
So Nestle's really actually trying to make a replicator.
And I believe there's a $7 million prize for someone to actually get the first
I'm
tricorder
right
or something up and running.
Trying to get it. It's, yeah, we're getting there. Slow internet tonight.
So all I can say is, for the human race, Leonard Nimoy left a hell of a legacy. And one thing that has always resonated in my life was one of his sayings.
Only
and I pass this on to you. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Or the one.
This planet needs to get their crap together and realize we are not going to conquer space. We are not going to do things that are going to help mankind until we put the needs of the entire planet before ourselves. Well, at least before ourselves. I mean, I'm going to be selfish right to the end, but put the needs of everybody else in front of you. Leonard Nimoy, I salute you. Thank you.
I paid for a, this lady came in, it was snowing really, really bad. She came to work and she didn't have enough money. She didn't have any money on her for a wiper blade, so what do? I buy her a wiper blade. She's screaming at me because I can't take a credit card over the phone, even though I'm buying the wiper blade for putting it on the whole time, all the way out the door, screaming at me still that I can't take the card over the phone, not even seeing that I bought the wiper blade for her, not even a thank you or anything. Well, she could kill herself.
That's when you hit somebody with your shoe. That's a permissible
karma
event, I would think.
Why
karma
you
will eventually.
Oh, needs of the many. I was being nice. That's what I was trying to get at.
Karma will eventually.
I was thinking about
spin in your direction and spin away from her.
Yes, and those are always the people who win the damn mega bucks.
Yeah.
And then they still won't go back and give Larry the $15 for
the wiper blade.
The wiper blade.
But you did a good thing.
Thank you, Larry.
What about? You're welcome. What? What did you say thank you for?
For helping that evil lady witch.
For being a friend.
Well, it was really snowy out, so maybe she took care of herself. Fingers crossed. Anyway.
There's a call for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
What about that car that they found with the baby inside?
Carrie.
Did you, that one, and, no, that was Christine.
Christine. Carrie was the crazy chick at the prom.
Yeah.
Damn it, Mike.
Also
get yourself.
Also known as every prom.
They're all going to laugh at you. There was a car that was found. I'm certain. This is all over the news. Someone ended up hearing, seeing that there was a car smashed. They called the cops. The cops ended up going. There was about five cops, and they all hear someone saying, help us, help, help us, help, help. All five cops hear this. They get to the car. The mother's dead and drowned. It's in a river. The mother's dead and drowned. The car's upside down. The baby's hanging there. Been there for 14 hours. No one knows where this help us was coming from. Help, help us.
That's
all the
weird.
Cops heard it. So now, immediately, no one's thinking reasonably. They immediately think, angel.
Yeah.
It's an angel that helped us. And that's what I really wanted to talk about, because let's not jump to let's not jump to conclusions. That's just my thoughts. At thoughts, anybody.
We're about to Jenny Slate you.
I know, right? You're going to kick me right out.
So much for Skype.
Do you think it's the mother?
Now here's the thing. Me personally, in order to believe in, I don't know. I'm not a God. I don't believe in God. I'm not a religious person, but I do believe that there is. I know. I'm sorry, but I do.
Just kidding.
That,
just kidding. We don't endorse those things.
I do believe that
kicking
there's
Larry
some out. Kind of post-mortem consciousness development, something after death that happens. I mean, how do you explain some of the stuff that I've seen going on investigations? And I don't believe that there's a God or a heaven or anything, but I do believe maybe possibly the mother was there still.
So
somehow.
I zoned out the first half of the story. the car was where?
It was in a river upside down. The baby was in the back seat, in the car seat for 14 hours, hung upside down.
And the mother was dead.
The mother was dead and drowned.
The car didn't fill all the way with water?
No, because the way it went into the river, it
was
just...
Oh, like the mother's side was in the baby for 14 hours, and the baby's fine?
The baby's fine. The baby was found fine.
How old was the baby?
A toddler. Toddler. Two. It doesn't talk yet, though. Doesn't say
how.
And it was a woman that all five cops said that it was a woman. Like, they heard a woman yelling, help, loudly. That's why they kept going, because they kept hearing the help. So... I just thought that maybe the radio was on still and the Beatles was playing on it.
Help!
I need somebody! Help!
Not
just
anybody!
Help!
Oh, dear.
So we went from angels to the Beatles.
Not
wow.
Very far transition.
No.
They were going to be bigger than Jesus.
Although they did bring up the thing again about Paul McCartney dying in the 60s and being replaced with...
Just before Rubber Soul came out. There's a movie!
Replaced with what? And
you have Netflix?
Yeah.
There's a movie called Paul McCartney Really Is Dead. Watch it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was it? Was it Ringo Sang?
George Harrison?
No, according to this movie, okay, this movie is based on after George Harrison. Remember when George Harrison got stabbed? That guy, like, broke into his house and stabbed him? Allegedly, according to this movie, George Harrison made this tape explaining this entire conspiracy about the fake Paul McCartney. And then when George Harrison died, his estate sent it to this TV producer in California who made it into a documentary. And it's this massive that Paul McCartney died in a car accident, I think just before they wrote Rubber. They were working on Rubber Soul. But the British government felt that if they revealed to the world Paul McCartney was dead, there would be an incredible amount of teenage girl suicides. So they took a guy, gave him plastic surgery to make him look like Paul McCartney, and so began the conspiracy.
And that's when they all had to grow beards, too.
Yeah,
they masked it for a while.
They said they had to grow beards because they had to cover surgery scars on fake Paul McCartney. And it's the pretty much everything the Beatles ever did from 1960, when Rubber Soul came out, 65, to right up until Heather Mills was all part of this conspiracy. All their songs, you know how everyone's got messages in Beatles albums and songs? They're all real because it was John Lennon trying to reveal to them. Because the rest of pretty much the British government stepped in and told the rest of the Beatles, if you tell anyone Paul McCartney's dead, we're going to make sure you get a car accident too.
You don't mess with MI5.
But John Lennon felt like he didn't want to betray the fans, so that's why he put all these secret messages in their album covers and songs to let the fans know that Paul McCartney really was dead without having to come out and say it. It's a fantastic movie. It's 100% BS. But they do an excellent job of tying every little aspect of the Beatles' life into this conspiracy.
Wasn't it the record cover where they were crossing the road or something that was the message?
Oh, yeah. It was. They were all dressed like, you know, the members of a funeral thing. And Paul McCartney was the dead guy because he's the one walking around. He's out of step with the other three Beatles.
He's the only one without shoes on.
He's barefoot. He's out of step with where the other Beatles might have their left leg forward, he has their right leg forward. And he's holding a cigarette, which is supposed to represent the last cigarette you smoke before you die. And actually, on the back of Abbey Road, is dead, the last testament of George Harrison. Yes, that's it. If you have the full album, the CD cover, they cut down too much to show it. But if you flip over the back of the Abbey Road album, it says the Beatles across the bottom of it. And there's a series of dots next to it, like a little. And the dots look like the number 3. It goes into all sorts of. The cover of Rubber Soul, I don't know if any of you are familiar with this. It's like a picture of the Beatles like looking down. You're kind of like on the ground, like surrounded by the Beatles, and they're like looking down on you.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about Ringo Starr.
Our conspiracy about
Ringo's here, everybody.
See, do you see how he is his own owl?
Larry, you guys talking about
Goldilocks? So you brought up the Beatles. I can talk about this all night, which has nothing to do with the paranormal.
Well, it's a conspiracy.
Exactly.
So
except for Paul McCartney's success after the Beatles, but hey.
My favorite interview about that was Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney, and that was conspiracy, right?
Looking down into the grave,
and Paul McCartney said,
"And the where Rubber
yes,
Soul
it was,
is,
I'm not really
if
dead.
You turn it that way, it's
that was
represent
it.
Represent a heart.
That's the interview.
Represent they love.
It was on the Chris Farley show.
Their love for Paul McCartney, and
okay.
And through the whole thing, the best part about it is through the whole movie, they refer to fake Paul McCartney as Fall. For fake Paul.
Okay.
But yeah, we can talk about this all night.
Jesus, Mike.
Sorry.
I've got a funny little story here that I was reading while Mike was talking about.
I'm sorry, everyone. That was a tough. Beatles are something near and dear to my heart.
There was. Not to cut you off.
No, sorry. So I can talk about the Beatles.
Okay, shut up now. There was an auction on eBay, which ended just recently, within the past 2 weeks, where they were selling a ghost on eBay.
Oh, I've been on.
They sold a ghost?
There,
I read about this.
There was a chest that an antique collector bought, and he brought it into his home. He was a young guy, and As soon as he brought it into his home, he started to see a male figure in his house. He said, "I have a male ghost for sale. He came into my house when I purchased an old wooden chest. He is attached to the chest. The chest comes along with the ghost. He is attached to it. Whatever room I put the chest in, he's hanging around in it. If I try to hide the chest, he searches for it and even gets mad if he can't find it for a while. You get the chest and the ghost for $300. Please email pics of ghost and chest included," blah, blah, blah. So what he did, he was so offended by what happened, he posted all of these questions that he received from all these people, because they're the most hilarious questions I've ever read in my life. But just to post a few, it says, one of them, "Scary or nice? Scale of Slimer to Vigo, where would this ghost land?" Next one says, "How big is the ghost? My apartment isn't huge. Not trying to get suffocated every day by this ghost. He has to respect my space. Does the ghost get along with dogs? I notice you're in Wisconsin. Is the ghost a Packers fan? Sort of a deal breaker. Is it one of those ghosts that's going to try and play with me inappropriately while I sleep? I'm not judging people or ghosts, but I'm not into that sort of stuff, so I would rather not have any kind of ghost that tries to screw with me all night." And it just goes on and on and on. And he ended up selling this thing on eBay.
How much?
$300.
I wonder who he sold it to.
I don't know. A paranormal investigator, it said down below.
We're going to get a phone call from John Zaffis in a few minutes.
Well, probably a nice chest.
No, it was an old chest.
But this has been going on for a while. One of the big things are the haunted dolls that they keep posting. And
I
sell them
it,
between
yeah.
$30 and three. Okay, Tweety Bird.
But
tweet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dolls are creepy.
But you can have fun with them.
Dolls are creepy.
Dolls?
Yeah.
Oh,
let me give the call-in number so if anybody wants to have some fun with us.
Like, what's his fix? The one in Florida. Or
Robert.
1-8-8-8-4-2-9-5-4-7-1.
Did you get the point?
Just in case you missed the international number as opposed to the domestic number.
Wow, it'd be nice to get a call from London, England, or something.
That would be cool.
You know, wouldn't it be cool?
Like
maybe Jolly Old Jack can give us a call.
Yeah, why doesn't somebody call us from another country? That would be fantastic.
Jack the Stripper?
Jack the Ripper. Oh, yeah.
And when we say other country, we do include Alabama in that.
Don't make fun of our Southerners.
His name is Mike Perillo. P.O. Box 724, Rome, New York, 87245.
I believe there is a Perillo in Texas that's closer. We won't go there.
You got me with that one.
So I see here on Johnny Zaffis' Facebook page, one of his movies is going.
Oh, yeah?
Called The Possessed, based on the true story of the Wadasecki Wonder, America's first documented possession in 1870. The chilling story of a 13-year-old girl from a small town of Watseka, Illinois, who became possessed by spirits of the insane dead. Starring John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Who's Keith Age?
I don't know. We are trying to actually get Rosemary Ellen Guiley on the show. Trying to get a good
I heard her a lot on that other more popular show, Wendy Cooperley.
Because I know we had a caller asking about vampires, and she is a very foremost authority on vampires. So
she's
like to...
Rosemary? No.
Well, if she is, I hope she calls in.
Her name's not familiar.
No, she's written many books on many, many. She knows a lot of things about the elementals, too. Who wanted to talk about elementals? We can talk about
right.
that. You want to do elementals?
Yeah. I had an idea about him, you know, about how elementals are probably... It's too late to even get into it. It's a huge thing. Never mind. We'll talk next time about it.
Shut the puck, Wudgie.
I like a puck, Wudgie. I'm reading about fairies right now.
I love fairies.
You are a fair.
I'm looking at four right now.
Mike's phone number is 1-315.
555-5555.
Hey, if you can't be famous, be infamous.
He's even more than famous. He's infamous.
He's infamous.
Name that movie.
You almost, something almost just came right out. That would have been good. Remind me later about that one.
There is
oh, being infamous.
There's a lot of news in the past week about sightings of cryptids.
Really?
You
know what it is? With the warmer weather, they're starting to come out of hibernation.
It could very well be. There's a lot of stories of Bigfoot sightings. There's a ton of stories about fairies being seen. There's a ton of stories about, what was it, Chupacabra.
The Mexican goat sucker.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There is, I mean, these are all over. These are from Ohio down to Tennessee.
To Mexico, I guess.
Mexico.
If they're really seeing a lot of Bigfoot settings, does that mean Bigfoot could be a hibernator?
You know, one of the really famous videos of Bigfoot is him in the snow.
Well, actually, not if even if he's not a hibernator.
Hibernator.
Think of all the snow we've had. Who's in the deep woods this time of year?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true too.
And his close cousin, the Yeti. I mean, that's in the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, there is a snow up there. Yeah, that's weird. There's a whole lot of stories of these sightings recently.
I always had this thought, what if a lot of these cryptids are part of their environment? Like, they've adapted so much that they can walk into the wood. Like,
oh, sure.
You're following Sasquatch with a camera, and then he's gone. Well,
he's inside the tree.
He's there. He's just part of the tree now. He's
like camouflages himself.
Exactly. I mean, how would he be able to survive for so long? How would these...
Well, I feel that's true with things like fairies and whatnot. I mean, personally, I think when I think fairies, I for some reason, I always just picture them tied to like England and Ireland.
Yeah.
They have strong beliefs of how well they're tied to the land and fairy hills that lead the other world. And
anybody want some milk?
Stuff like that.
Having gone to Ireland... There's a county right in the center of the country called Offaly, and there's a mountain range called the Sieve Bloom Mountains. And if anybody's been there in that area, then they will know that there's a tremendous amount of fairy lore surrounding these mountains. Like, there's tons of places.
Is Ireland?
Yeah, there's tons of places that you just don't go in these mountains.
Yeah, because they're the lands of, well...
It's the fairy land.
And there's like hills and fairy flowers.
There's the
fairy
circles, and anywhere where there's stone circles or stone monuments.
Did you see the Giant's Causeway when you were there? No, that
was way north.
You've you said, you've been to Ireland. Did you see the Blarney Stone?
Yeah, I kissed the Blarney Stone.
Did you kiss
it? I kissed it.
Now, is it just one main Blarney Stone, or are there many? Can you find a Blarney Stone, or what?
Yeah, it's
you're walking along, there's a Blarney Stone.
It's in a castle.
It's in a castle. It's at the top of the castle.
So there's one.
Yeah, you have to hang backwards over a big drop while somebody holds you, and you kiss it. It's one stone.
So what does it look like, just a regular stone?
It looks like a stone in a castle, but it's been worn away by so many... people kissing it over the years.
Are you kidding?
There's
really?
Like a little depression, and they tell you before you kiss it, put some chapstick on because you don't want to, you know, get any of that stuff on you.
It's like the kissing wall in the Middle East there.
See, now I got to talk about, I had this idea about elementals. How they're actually just the energy, like say, like fairies or, I don't know, let's say leprechauns or gnomes or, they're just... the energy from the, because trees are living, giving off energy. So who's to say it's not the same idea as an inhuman haunt, where I had this idea where inhuman or demonic haunts, how they're not human, but they have energy from humans that we give off, and it's just collected into a consciousness. Well, who's to say that the woods aren't doing the same thing?
That's
very
true.
The forests aren't doing the same thing, where it's going to get really protective of its area, and it's going to, because it has no idea it's not human, it was never human, it's just something doing, it's trying to survive. It's the woods trying to survive and protect itself. That's, yeah. I don't know. That's just an idea I had about.
Well, there's you didn't really just do that, did you?
What did I do?
No, I thought my computer was like a touchscreen. I went to go like something on Facebook. I touched it, and why didn't it work?
I want to say I was reading a book on like weird things you find in the woods, or, and I want to say, I could be making this up. Sometimes I have a hard time distinguishing between reality and my dreams. I'll admit that on the air. But like, there's a type of tree, I think, that like can move itself because as it, like you said, it's not the energy, like it gets up and walks, but as it moves into sunlight, its roots actually will like move.
Yeah, that was definitely a dream. Like,
and it,
no,
the tree,
I could swear I heard
and, it. And it, like the roots don't grow deep
good,
enough,
yeah. Yep.
So they always move
yep.
to where the nutrients go and it drags the rest
something
of the tree
very similar to
with
that,
it.
Yeah.
But
I wish I can remember.
That's okay.
Well, it's a good thing you have a laptop in front of you.
Well, this is, I don't know.
That's okay, I got it.
I'm in like walking tree and avoid anything that references J.R.R. Tolkien.
You know what I've always been interested in? The rocks that move.
Yes.
In the desert?
Yeah, those are crazy.
Now, is there any explanation to these?
The water collects under the soil and or under the rock, and as the rock heats up, it condenses and it moves it just fraction of an inch each day
over time.
Yeah, so they do these time-lapse things of these rocks moving.
But that is an explanation. There is a scientific, it's not mystical.
No, there's nothing mystical about that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we have an increase in cryptid sightings. I don't know if you've been following the reverse spectrum. There's been an increase in UFO sightings in Argentina and Mexico.
Yeah, that's on here as well.
Yeah.
And those always
yeah.
go hand in hand for some reason, as they've always said, watch the cryptids, watch the UFOs. Where there's UFOs, there's cryptids. I've also had quite a few of the metaphysical people tell me that they feel something huge on the horizon, like some big sort of rift is like ready to explode open. And you know, when you see things like this, it makes you wonder. I mean, I know we take the perspective of we're from Missouri, show us, but what really is going on out there?
Well, I just saw a video. It's funny you say that. Not long ago, I think middle of last week, I saw a video of two planes chasing a UFO. Chasing, and the guy who's recording it is saying, I hope that you could see this when, because what I'm recording is absolutely amazing. It's just this silver object, like a needle shooting through the sky, and right behind it, there's these two jets, one's on one side, one's on the other, flying, chasing this thing, and then one of the jets moves away, or the UFO actually kind of veers off to the side, and the jets go one way, and then the jets kind of come back for it again. Like, this is insane.
Have you seen any of the YouTube ones of, like, the Mexico City UFOs? Have any of you got, where they're, like, very close to them things?
Yeah.
Was it?
And everybody writes them off as fake, but what if it's not fake? I mean, can you imagine what these things are? I mean, it's like something alien is staring at us, and
well,
we're trying to ignore it.
The way I think is, if we're so primitive and so advanced that they would be peaceful out there. You know, they're not here to kill, they're here to learn.
They've never been to Walmart, but
then again, it could be like, you know, aliens, and we can be Sigourney Weaver. They might just want to take over the planet and, like, Galactus style and just kill everything, take all the resources and be done.
Walking palm trees, by the way.
Yeah, I just looked up on Steve's phone, yeah.
Yeah.
That they actually, it says it's designed more like when a tree falls on another, like if a tree falls and knocks this tree over, this tree will grow new roots, and the ones that were there die, and it pretty much moves itself and rights itself from where it fell over on the ground.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
I didn't read enough to see how long it takes, but I'm sure it takes forever.
I mean, why not? Why not? There are little plants.
It says it happens in Central and South America.
No,
and then you'd also eat hamburger.
If you're a Whovian,
that's what I fed mine.
This past season, trees saved humanity. Overnight, the entire planet was covered with trees to absorb the rays of, was it the sun? I don't remember the episode, but. And then they went away the next day. As soon as they did their job, they went away.
I don't watch
the trees. Spoiler alert. The trees.
Doctor Who.
Okay.
Once again,
whatever.
Mike Bruno.
Whatever.
I tried watching Doctor Who. You watch Doctor Who?
No.
But that, going back to your original point of elementals, so pretty much what you're getting at is that collective energy that we've always repeatedly talked about.
From nature.
It's not really like a fire spirit as a fire elemental. It's just random energy collected in fire. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dave, since Larry's ignoring me.
I'm sorry. I was...
you threw out the first half of my conversation.
I'm sorry.
But we have special laws in Iceland protecting elementals.
Yeah.
Really?
There's actually crossings and laws that you can't harm an elemental.
There's a fairy crossing?
Well, they include fairies in with that, too. Yeah. Any supernatural creature, they
any
love
kind
that.
Of woodland, any kind of woodland...
well, not even
spirit,
just woodland, any kind of supernatural, they consider them elementals.
Well,
okay.
So. I brought up before, like, the laws against them. In England, you can get UFO abduction insurance.
Yes.
You can get insurance against being hurt by the paranormal. And there's actually a couple, in the article I read that dealt with this, there's, I think, one or two actual old, like, bed and breakfast or inns that are allegedly really haunted. That make their employees get paranormal insurance before starting work there.
So, we should go into that business.
So if I get caught killing a fairy in Iceland, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
One of the first episodes of Josh Gates's, oh dear Lord, what was the name of his first show? Was it
Destination Truth?
They were in Iceland and they had like a heat signature coming out of some snowbank. And then he was, like, arguing with one of the guys. He's like, is it a fairy door? And then they're, like, going back and forth. And he's like, are we really arguing about this? And they do make mention of the laws out there, too, about elemental protection.
Elemental you have protection. To love the old countries.
EPA, Elemental Protection Agency.
Yeah, I like it.
Special Agent Steve Roscoe.
That's right.
Hey, see, though, that makes it sound like you use elementals to protect things.
I carry a photon torpedo.
Like we rent out elementals as bodyguards.
I would like one.
What, a photon torpedo?
An elemental bodyguard.
An elemental bodyguard. Except air, because it probably wouldn't really help you when a guy started shooting.
I would prefer the photon torpedo.
Well,
with the full laser.
Photon torpedo probably take out the whole city of Rome, but, you know.
That's okay.
Can't make an omelet, Steve.
Just remember, energy lost is energy gained someplace else.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The Genesis Project.
Wow.
But I always have trouble finding the actual specific... I just cut you off, I'm sorry. The actual specific law that states that you can't... You have to disclose if you think your house is haunted that you're selling or renting.
Stigmatized property law.
I know that one, but there was another one, and I could swear it started with an M, and I can't remember what it's called. Like,
mind your business, or we'll shoot you in the head just by the house.
I mean, you know what is up as well.
No,
I'm pretty sure I've seen recently the Amityville house is up for sale.
Again?
Yes.
Huh.
I think it's for sale for like 1.5.
Speaking of stigmatized property.
That's weird. It was just sold, 2 years ago, I think? 3 years ago?
And the people that actually lived there, people... went there a lot and saying, you know, and they said there's nothing wrong with the house. We've been here for 5 years.
Yeah.
Nothing. All of a sudden now, the house is for sale.
Well, barring the murderers, whatever, do you think it was the Indians that are haunting the land? The Native Americans that
know.
Were there? I shouldn't call them Indians.
I don't know. I don't know. I think if you're going to paranormal, all around paranormals, the dead, the DeFeo people, that kids and family that are in that house.
I still like that picture of the little kid next to the stairs that they captured on the time-triggered photograph.
Yes, that
there.
Was kind of creepy.
I don't know. The more and more, like, you, if you're part of the paranormal and you subscribe to a lot of these groups on the Facebook thing, I mean, the pictures that they post night after night after
mm-hmm.
night, I've become so numb to pictures. It's like, I don't even want to look at a paranormal picture. Or anybody's like, look at this, there's a face here. No, there isn't. I don't even want to see your photo. Now, if you got video, maybe I'll take a look at that. But then the only one that seems to be out there again this week is the mouse that has the spirit floating up to.
That's back again.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, Peter, it's a spirit coming out of a mouse.
I'm
so, come on.
I'm sorry, Larry.
No. I'm
and that's
no.
not like a real kid.
No.
That allegedly wasn't there when the picture was taken?
They say that that is the DeFeo, one of the younger DeFeos.
Nice.
One of the kids.
They are a photography expert. Just
what's
like
up?
What's like a picture of a kid?
Speaking of kids, what's this phenomena lately with the black-eyed kids?
Oh,
I hope I followed
that. Yeah, that's huge, especially after all the Slender Man stuff has come out.
I was going to say, aren't they up there? Didn't they come out before the Slender Man?
Yeah,
actually,
here.
I remember we talked about the black-eyed kids a long time ago.
Yeah, this is a historical phenomena.
Is it like a genetic thing, or is this like linked to paranormal in any way? Like,
well, there's...
Actually, these pictures you can't enlarge.
There's a condition which causes this black eye situation, but in a lot of these pictures, they're actually staged. A lot of these pictures are poses.
Like the whole Slender Man thing?
Yeah, this with the Slender Man has come a resurgence of this black-eyed kids thing. And reading this article that I was reading about it, a lot of the pictures are actually hoaxes.
We're killing this house. You remember this story?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We're still talking about the Amityville, the Fayos, right? That's Amityville, right?
Yes. We'll talk about it after the show.
I'm sorry.
No, we're done.
That's all right.
It's okay. We're not on the air or anything, guys.
We're talking about the black eye kid.
Well, he showed me a creepy picture.
Sure. I can't talk about the Beatles, but you guys can talk about the Amityville.
Paranormal.
Beatles?
Well, that's what is the black eyed kid in the photo with
the.
But anyway.
These Halloween stores are now selling these complete blackout contact lenses.
And oh, yeah.
It's popular for kids to go and get them, and then they put them in their eyes, and they dress themselves up, and you know, then they take a picture, and suddenly there's...
It's online. Someone
black
sees
eye kids. Oh, my God.
Sort of like the demon eye thing.
Right, exactly.
On that one show.
You want to see the real black eye kids who stand behind me in the buffet at the Chinese when they run out of those chariot teriyaki chicken sticks? I'll show you black eyed kids.
Those are good. Chicken on a stick? Oh, I love those things.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken on a stick.
So Art Bell is missing?
That's my favorite.
He is.
Chicken on a stick.
Maybe they should check the other coast.
Actually.
Yeah!
Whoa.
Actually, he's going to be starting another show. It's going to be an internet radio show, actually. When his contract...
Can we take his radio?
Well, he signed a contract
with
Sirius. He signed a contract with Sirius, a no-compete contract, because... If you're on a show, they sign you to your contract. If you leave the show, you can't compete against that old show and company that it's called a no competition clause. And when that's over, he's going to be starting. It's going to be called Dark Matter.
Dark Matter.
Yeah.
We never paid attention to the law.
Art Bell's Dark Matter.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Let me tell you, when Art Bell did that other show. That show's great.
The other show.
Art Bell was awesome.
We'll refer to it as the other show.
Art Bell was awesome. I would like to get him
coast
on
to
our
coast.
Show. Coast to Coast AM with Art
Bell.
Oh,
that's what I wanted to check. I just go to other people's Facebook pages so I don't have to do work.
That's okay.
And I just look at the info.
Larry, that's the point of the internet, making everything easier. Nobody does original work nowadays anyway.
Mm-hmm. I would like to think we do.
Who's got time?
I still use an encyclopedia set. I don't know about the rest of you. I prefer that.
Say, Grandpa?
This is my...
I don't think they're big enough to be Grandpa.
No, they're not.
This is my encyclopedia right here. My Encyclopedia Britannica, everything you want right
all
here.
All in one. So, just going back to this tricorder thing, I just found it. The Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE.
Really?
And
what
they're
like?
Awarding, well, it's a competition.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
So they're awarding $10 million to the organization or company who can, you know, design this thing.
Dave?
You can't build that?
I was going to say, do you not have a PhD in electronics?
But you're like
computer science.
Computer science, okay.
These things are crazy.
Hop to it.
So they have 10 finalists, and I don't know. These things with just a push of a button or a scan across the skin can diagnose things like anemia, body temperature, heart rate, oximetry, heart rate variability, and pulse wave transmit time, the time it takes for the heartbeat to reach somewhere else in the person's body. It could sense blood sugar. It could sense...
Without breaking the skin.
If you have HIV.
Breaking the skin.
Osteoporosis.
the Bill Gates Foundation is also offering $7 million for a similar prize. Yeah, so these things...
Wouldn't that be awesome to do, to be able to check your blood sugar and all that without a needle?
Yeah, some of them link to your smartphone.
Huh?
They're getting to that one where you just touch the outer skin.
But I don't understand. You said it's a $10 million prize, which is a lot of money. But it seems like if you're a corporation who can build this device, $10 million wouldn't be much to you.
Well...
It probably costs $50 to build that.
Yeah, but since I work in contract
electronics...
That's
what I mean, like...
It costs a ton of money to go through the engineering, the prototype.
That's what I mean. Like, if you built it on yourself and won $10 million, that's like, holy...
Yeah.
But it seems like these companies, the money's... It just doesn't seem worth it for, like, outside of the prestige of being the company that...
These organizations that have done this are probably organizations that have formed specifically to do this. So they're probably independent of any other... Like they
so
show,
they might be like a whole bunch of guys who have...
They
like
show,
they're a bunch of engineers who are doing this in their part-time.
They show the inventors of these things.
They all
and
have like real jobs.
Without stereotyping, most of them are Indian, from India, former doctors.
They all look like Jeff Goldblum from Independence Day.
Or... No, from India. Or a team...
Jeff Goldblum from India?
So anyway, that's what this is.
I made Steve Buck's number. But yeah, it just seems like $10 million wouldn't be
a drop in the bucket, right?
For whatever company
yeah.
would be
for
that.
Bill Gates, you know what $10 million dollars is to Bill Gates?
That's nice.
Do you think
it's $10?
He likes a cigar. $10 million.
So here's a breaking story on Facebook. And they have the picture to match it. It says that it turns out that sticking your tongue into a Venus flytrap is a very bad idea.
Is there a picture of a guy with his tongue stuck in a Venus flytrap?
Yep.
At what point did you think that was a good idea?
Yep.
But it's not teeth. Like, they're not needles. They don't hurt you.
But
I have one of those.
Yeah, but
and
put
what,
a bunch of thorns in your tongue.
What
it's
happened?
Just, they're not thorns. They're like hair.
What
it's
happened
like
the
hair.
Last time you stuck your tongue into it?
Nothing, but I stick my finger in him when I feed him. And it doesn't, it's just hair.
Well,
it's not
stick
fun.
Your tongue in it and see why they say it's a bad
idea. I will
idea.
Because I'm not scared of it because it's just hair.
Will you video it on your phone while you do it?
Because, Larry, that'll land
yeah,
you
well,
a girlfriend when it gets out that you make out with your Venus flytrap.
Actually, you stick something else in the flytrap and you'll have 1 million hits on YouTube by tomorrow.
I'll give you $5.
The
if
the
you
odds are so tiny.
You know, I'll put
$5
on top of that. $10.
It's one of those fly traps. I don't know why, but every time I would feed it, the pod would close, the pod would die, but it constantly grows pods, and I don't know why. So I just don't feed it. I don't feed it anything anymore. I just water it, and it's still alive. But the pods are so tiny on it.
It's because you're not giving it meat.
Well, it dies.
Everything needs meat to grow.
It dies, so I don't know. I feed it, it dies. I don't feed it, it survives, but the pods are tiny. So
leave it to Larry to have a vegan Venus fly trap.
I'm not vegan.
No, you are.
I've had that fly trap for over 5 years, maybe more. I want to say probably about 7 years now. He's
that's
still
crazy.
Alive and kicking. It's my
no
Audrey too. Audrey too.
Jeez.
I was walking around with my fly trap down today. I didn't even know it.
Not
dogs were
just got that weenies.
What?
Stop talking to Candy.
It's
just girl talk.
So we got a couple, 2-3 minutes left. We don't really have anything in the works. We got stuff in the works. We got some events we're getting ready for.
That's not
real. I guess we could mention we're going to be at SalemCon in April.
Oh, yeah, SalemCon, April, whatever, 10th through
12th? 10th through 12th in historic Salem, Massachusetts.
At the Daniel Hawthorne Inn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a different hotel for that one.
Yeah, because they're kind of sold out.
Those prices were ridiculous.
I don't think I'm going to be able to go because of the whole New York thing now.
You can stay in my room.
You can stay in Mike's room.
Coming to?
I got 2 rooms.
Why do you have 2
not,
rooms?
Not 2 separate rooms, but it's got a room with a king-size bed and another room with a pull-out bed.
Oh.
Stacey can stay in my room.
Whoa!
King-size bed, we can all stay in my room.
So then on April 18th, we're in Woodbridge, New Jersey for the New Jersey Perry Unity Conference.
When is that?
Yes. After,
April 18th.
Yeah, the next weekend.
The weekend after.
Yeah.
At some point, we're going to be hosting a paranormal introductory class. That'll probably be the first week of May.
We also...
We have the Rucker Mansions. We're pretty sure it's going to be the last week of September, a presentigation.
Cool.
We are working on a couple other places, something involving butter, and we'll get back to everyone.
Yeah, that's all.
And we're also working on
butter.
What else?
I'm in.
We're not announcing that yet.
We're not announcing.
We're not.
That's
we're
a special. That'll be the next radio show.
That's the next radio show.
Special
we don't have the website up yet.
Special announcement next week.
Oh, we're waiting for the website. Okay.
It, we have to wait for the porn to get cleared off.
Well, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Come
important.
Back next show and we can
two
tell
weeks from now there will be a groundbreaking RIP announcement.
That's right.
Did you really have to follow when I said there's porn on there? You're like, please come to. I mean,
I'm not gonna say that.
On that note, I guess.
It's a high note, yes.
Dear Lord. I'm Peter Leonard, and I thank you for showing up, and we love you.
And I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero, and I apologize for my outburst to Mike. I love you, Mike.
I'm Mike Perillo, and I graciously accept Dr. Dave's apology.
I'm Steve Roscoe, and I apologize to nobody.
I'm Larry O'Grady, and I'm just a sorry sack.
That's it.
And
for
after
us.
The ending, I'm going to go to Larry's house and put something in his fly trap.
Right. Get a picture of that.
Secret lover.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.